Next Step 379, September 10th, 2015. Are you finding yourself reacting to everything? We'll be looking at reactive compared to proactive in the context of, well, what else? Armadoxy. This is Father Voskin. Who else? Bringing you and asking you to join us to take the next step.
This is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin, the acclaimed podcast series about spirituality through Orthodoxy. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. We here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Good to have you with us today. I don't know if you're going to want to be with us today. It's good that you're over there and I'm over here. It is miserably hot. Miserably hot and sticky and humid. And I'm making this apology right at the beginning. No apologies necessary, you're going to say. I've got the air conditioning. I've got two fans blowing at me. And I've got a third fan as an exhaust taking out this icky air. I don't know what other way to put up with this. But anyway, this is how we're going to get through the podcast today. And I'm just putting it out there in case you hear an extra hum or two. It's these giant fans that are whirling around. And I hope the hum's not from me, you know, because if I am humming, it'll be a cool tune. I've got a lot of tunes in my head lately. I don't know. You know, you sit down with Gor Mkhitaryan, and you can't help but tune around. Yes, we saw him in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. And then this week, I had a chance to see him here in the Los Angeles area. And I'm very happy to tell you right now, first time ever, that we are producing another great album together. It is the talent, the musical talent, words, music of Gor Mkhitaryan with the social conscience, yeah, of In His Shoes. It is going to be an In His Shoes production of Gore's latest CD called Passport. And we'll have a press release out on that very soon. But you, Next Step listeners, you get it before everybody else. Now, tell me, isn't that worth the price of Next Step? Oh, what? There's no price? Yes. Well, isn't that just worth being here? You got to hear it. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We sat down around the table and finalized the deal. We're going to be putting together a new album called Passport. And that's going to be coming out early next year, 2016. You will not want to miss it. It's going to be combining some of the best of, well, like I said, not only the words, the musics of Gor Mkhitaryan, but the social conscience of a people that need to be expressing today in this world. I mean, you know, we were just talking about this today. You got so much stuff being thrown at us. You've got news coming out from every different angle. Whether you're following it on your computer, you're following it, these voice broadcasts that come over, you're watching it, you're watching videos, you're just inundated with information. Now, how do you make sense out of it? We've become a generation that's taking in so much information and then finding it difficult to really work out some of this the stuff that we're learning. Case in point, did you see the picture that came in from the Turkish beach of a young little child being washed ashore? And it emphasizes the plight of the refugees. We talk about the refugees coming out of Syria, one of this global situation that we're in. And we all talk about it. Everybody's been talking about it. At what point do you change that talk into action? Sometimes the actions are difficult to really gauge because you look at the whole thing, you look at the whole picture, and you say, well, what is my small little offering really going to do? How much is it going to matter? Is it just a drop in an ocean of blood? where do I find a voice? I think people do want to do what is right, do want to do what is good, but we're just overwhelmed. There's just so much going on. I know for me, I'm sitting here in this office right now, and we've got news coming in from Syria. I met with some leadership this morning who had really ground floor information about what was going on in Syria. We're seeing things that are happening out there in Europe, right here in LA. And then when they say all politics is local, I mean, think about it too. What did I start off with? I started off with the heat situation, because you're trying to do everything and then you've got this horrible heat wave and you're just sitting in there sweating away, perspiring away. As for all of our women folk who don't like rough language, we're perspiring away over here, having a rough time just even moving. And you know, that becomes our local politics in a sense. And so you got these global situations and you're talking about these small little things. How do you put it all together? How do you sift through it? How do you get a message and a clear-cut direction for where you want to go? And that's what we try to do here on The Next Step. That's what I mean by connecting the dots. When we're connecting, it's not just between the ancient and the contemporary. It's not just between the emotional, the psychological, and the spiritual. And the physical. No, it's connecting the dots in our lives to take in information and then to be active about something. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about today. I want to talk about proactive versus reactive in the context of Christianity and in the context of this very special week that we're in, the exaltation of the Holy Cross. So that's going to be my message coming up in the second portion of today's show. So, hey, what is going on? I heard from a few of you. One of them was Peter in Fort Lauderdale. That's Florida, right? Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. Peter writes in and says, okay, you talked about Ohio. You even played a bit of Ohio, the song, in parentheses he's put, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And I want to add to you, Peter, and I think it's with Young, too. I think it is a Neil Young song, too. Anyway, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And he says, and you didn't talk about any of the events that took place in Ohio in the 60s. And you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was out of the context. And we wanted to go down there. We wanted to go down to Kent State while we were in there. Let me tell you this, that we did have intentions. We wanted to go to Kent State, where, of course, four were killed in Ohio. And later on, and I applaud you for catching that small rift, we didn't even play the entire song. We just prefaced it with that small little Ohio bit. Yes, that is a song by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, referencing the Kent State killings. And that was, I believe, in the end of the 60s, if not the early 70s, a terrible event that took place here in America. Terrible in the sense that we not only the casualties, but we don't expect that kind of stuff happening here in America. We talk about First Amendment, we talk about freedom of speech, and when that freedom of speech is exercised, and we see that it is brought to an abrupt end, it's just intolerable. Anyway, Kent State, what happened there was, they called it the Kent State Massacre, actually. Some of the students at Kent State were protesting against, I want to say it was the Cambodian. You know what, I will definitely look up a link and put it on our show notes today. But basically the Cambodian campaign, which President Nixon had just announced a few days earlier than the shooting, they were protesting that. There were student riots, there were student protests, and the National Guard just went out there and started shooting. They started shooting, and eventually four people were shot dead. Now, these are college students who are standing up in protest, legal protest, and were just shot dead. And, of course, not only was it Cambodia, you got to remember, late 60s, early 70s, just this national unrest here in the United States because of the involvement in Vietnam. And all of these were just such big factors in the 60s and 70s to a national consciousness against war. You remember what I was talking about last week? If not, please listen. Last week's podcast was an important one. We talked about switching those metaphors, about calling the peacekeepers these giant instruments of war, and we dare to call them the peacekeepers. And I started talking about we need to start developing a new metaphor to talk for peace. Well, so too, during the 60s and 70s, that's where we were. We were starting to talk about that new metaphor, those new ways of describing peace. For all the millions that we put into military hardware, can we allocate a portion of that, if not all of it, but can we allocate a portion of that to education, to bringing about equity in the streets? And it's just different ways of presenting the same amount of money, right? Think about that. I mean, tonight our Inner Shoes is going to be out there doing homeless feeds. And we do this once, twice a month. Every time we're out there, I keep thinking about it. Like, what's so hard about this? And why can't we take care of our brothers and sisters? What is so hard about this? It's really kind of easy. And on top of it, it's a little bit fun, too. Because you see smiles, you have human interaction, which you may not have otherwise. And it's just a lot of fun. It's not a big major brainer. It's just about getting out there and doing it. And of course, this unrest was taking place in the 60s and 70s. And one of the ways that we were combating this was through protest and trying to develop the new metaphor for peace and through love. What happens now is we're in the 2000s, 2010s, and we're looking at big organizations. We actually bring in NGOs. And it's the same wording that we're talking about social activism, but doing it via these NGOs, giving it a more corporate appeal. Okay, if you need corporate appeal, do it. But let's get it done. Let's work for that peace. So anyway, yes, Peter, thank you very much for bringing that reference to Ohio. It got me started. It got me on my soapbox about other things, which I don't mind. But yes, Four Dead in Ohio, definitely there'll be a link on today's show notes about that. Do check it out. It was a story that would not go away, and thanks to the music, it did not go away from us. Okay, let's see. Switch over from all things Next Step to Ohio to how about Romania? We had the primate of the Armenian Church of Romania as our guest, His Grace Bishop Datev Hagopian. He was visiting Southern California. Actually, he is visiting. I saw him this morning. He was hanging out at the diocese. Had a chance to wish him well, and he extended a very courteous invitation to Romania. Let's see where we head out first. Hint, hint to all of you guys who are waiting for me out there. Okay, if I make it to Romania, I'll be forward to your place. Nobody blame but yourself, okay? I'm going to throw that right out at you. But anyway, Romania. What do you think about when you hear Romania? Well, here's this bishop. He's got an Armenian community there. He's been appointed as the primate of the Romanian diocese. I believe it must be about 3 or 4 years. I remember his predecessor, Archbishop Didide, who passed away a few years ago. And Bishop Datev was appointed to that post. What a wonderful fellow. Just, I mean, can I say it like that? About a bishop? Just wonderful. It was just beautiful. He actually gave a sermon on Sunday. First of all, we celebrated the Divine Liturgy, and it was very, very warm Divine Liturgy. Not only the climate, but the atmosphere within the church. People were just very, it was, you know, there's certain times where you really feel it. I felt it that day. And he gave a sermon, and at the conclusion of the sermon, now you don't expect this from bishops, right? He actually said, "Let us pray." I know, those of you who are outside of the Armenian tradition, you go, "What's so weird about that?" No, but it is kind of weird. He says, "Let's pray." He says, "I want to offer you a prayer." And he offered us such a beautiful, heartfelt prayer. And it just really caught us all off by guard. You know, there's a book out there. I don't know if it's still in print. I know it's in my library. How to be a bishop without being religious. Let me see if I can dig it up. If not, I'll put the link on today's show notes. Just kind of reminded me when he went into this prayer. I go, hey, here's a bishop who is religious, you know? And anyway, just a beautiful prayer. It was a very nice way to end a sermon, because when you think about it, this is his chance with the Glendale audience. We're sitting there. Now we're not going to see him. You know, many people will probably never see him again. A few people may have the opportunity to see him, but he's making his one-time hit. He's here in Glendale, and he wants to pray with the people there. I thought this was very appropriate. And you know what? It just sort of signals a new feeling within clergy. I mean, you're feeling this up at the top with Pope Francis. You're feeling this, I'm at least feeling this, with many of my clergy brothers who are just now graduating. There's really a genuine, sincere push to connect spiritually, emotionally, to connect with God and offer that connection to the people. And I really appreciated that. Okay, I'm going to take a break right now, play the song of the day. I'll be back in a couple minutes, after which we're going to be talking about proactive and reactive Christianity, as well as the exaltation of the Holy Cross. But for now, we need to cool down a bit, okay? Here's Vartanov Zepian from the Arakast album. Thank you. little cool-down jazz, huh? That's Vartan Ovsepian from the Arakust album. Hope you enjoyed it. There will be a link on today's show notes so you could check out all of his great music. That cooled me down. And we got a little adjustment on the microphone, too, so I hope you're hearing a little bit better. Thanks, Ken, for that one.
Daylight come and me won't go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
I want to talk a little bit about proactive versus reactive. And what do those words mean? There, I know they're buzzwords, but it really came into play this week as we were seeing images coming out of Syria, out of the crisis that's plaguing the world, a refugee problem unlike any we've seen in our lifetime or in the history of the world, we're told, just by the sheer numbers of people that are out there. And of course, there was that image that came out last week. It was on a Turkish beach. And probably many Armenians, like their hackles went up when they heard the word Turkey. They said, what's going on over there? But of course, beyond Armenian problems, this is a problem that just touched the whole world. A young child, a young little kid being washed ashore, refugee. And this word refugee, we've talked a lot about it. In fact, it's the basis of the In His Shoes ministry. We've talked about refugees from the time of Darfur to Iraqi refugees, and now it's happening in Syria, is a word that really makes us react like there's a problem out there, we've got to do something about it. And I felt it this week, especially seeing that picture out there, everybody was reacting. And then when you put it in the context of In His Shoes, of people throughout the world who've been trying to help people from the beginning of time. I mean, it's nothing new, people wanting to help others. People, at some point, you understand that your situation is pretty good. You're pretty well off, and being well off is not enough. You have to extend yourself to somebody else. And people have had that altruistic feeling within them since the beginning of time. And it's more accented when you see these dramatic events unfold. You see these dramatic pictures and you say, wow, somebody's got to do something about it. But it gets overwhelming at some point, right? You see the number of refugees, as I said, they're telling us this is unprecedented. Just the number, sheer volume of people. And Pope Francis, of course, coming out with a beautiful way of taking care of the situation. Let every Catholic Church take care of one family. Well, yeah, that's beautiful. That's a practical approach to it, right? I mean, if everybody just took care of one person, if everybody just took care of one other family that couldn't take care of themselves, we'd be living in this panacea, in this beautiful area that we call Earth. And we'd say, well, we are living up to our standards. But of course, not everybody is ready to do that. Not everybody does do that. But there are certain events that trigger reaction. Reaction. And by nature, we happen to be reactionary, especially in what I'm talking about, people who see something bad, see something evil, and they react to it. And I started thinking about proactive. What does it take us to be proactive? And lo and behold, what do you know? The Armenian Church. Yeah, you know I'd get that, right? Armenian Orthodoxy. Armadoxy. We have a proactive symbol, a proactive means of life that we're not tapping into. And that's what I wanted to share with you, because this week also happens to be one of the five major feast days of the Armenian Church, namely the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. So what is that? What is the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the elevation of the Holy Cross? Well, I've spoken about it before, and I'm not going to bore you today with too much history, but basically the cross of Christ was held in captivity, and when it was found, it made a procession, a parade, so to speak, through the Holy Lands and went up to Jerusalem, and it was exalted, it was lifted up. And of course, there's a reference in Holy Scriptures to Christ saying the Son of Man must, as Moses lifted up the snake or the serpent in the wilderness, referring to how Moses picked up this serpent, which has now become the medical community's symbol, right? When you go to a medical office, you see the staff and the serpents surrounding it, the snake surrounding it. Oh, that's biblical. That comes to us from old tradition. And Jesus makes reference to that. He says, as Moses lifted up the staff in the wilderness, people were healed. And so too, the sign of the Son of Man will rise. And people looking at that will understand it and understand that there is eternal life there. This comes to us from John chapter 3. Now, think about that for a moment, the symbol of the cross. It was exalted. It was lifted up. And accordingly, if you are in church this Sunday, which you should be, it's actually one of the feast days. Actually, you should be there every Sunday because why? It's the feast of resurrection. Why not? Yes. Yes, I'm advocating for that. I'm a priest. I got to advocate for that because I believe in it. And that's why I'm there too. It's just so beautiful. It is that 1 hour that calms you down, you know? 162 hours out of the week. This is that 1 hour that you get to focus back on what is really important. And this Sunday, we focus on this very scriptural passage. You'll hear it in church, John chapter 3. And the reference, of course, the exaltation of the Holy Cross reminds us that the cross of Christ is salvific. It saves us. Now, how does this fit in with our discussion of proactive, reactive? Well, think about it for a moment. Everything that we do is really reactive to some of the things that happen. In preparing for today's podcast, I said, what are people writing about proactive, reactive? I found a little piece here. It says, what does it mean to be proactive as opposed to reactive? And how can we do this? This is what this article is about. The word reactive implies that you don't have the initiative. You let the events set the agenda. Okay, so you see what's going on. You see a child being washed up on the shores in Turkey, and you are reacting to that. You weren't set up for that, but you see that, and it's just human nature. You react to it. You're tossed and turned, so to speak, by the tides of life. Each new wave catches you by surprise. Huffing and puffing, you scramble to react to it in order to just stay afloat. Wow. That's poetic. Very nice. In contrast, the image we associate with proactivity is one of grace under stress. To stay with the previous analogy, let's say you're in choppy waters. Now you look more at ease. It's not just that you anticipate the waves, you're in tune with them. You're not desperately trying to escape them. You're dancing with them. Oh, now, I couldn't want anything better. Look at that. Look how beautifully that unfolded. And just so you know, yesterday when I did the Armenian Christianity Today, I had not seen this yet, but I started talking about this. And so I've been developing this idea of tying in the proactivity, reactivity with the Holy Cross. And so let's try it right now, okay? Proactivity, it says, is one of grace under stress. Well, what is the Holy Cross? What does Jesus tell us about the cross? Is it something that is just this instrument of torture, or is it something more? Obviously, we who wear these crosses, and have you noticed how much celebrities now wear crosses? They're just like all over. In fact, they have them tattooed. They have them tattooed right on their chest. And you just see these crosses all over the place. Well, this is the ultimate symbol of Christianity. Like it or not, the cross is the symbol of Christianity. You can't escape that. You can try to give it different meanings and everything, but when people see cross, they think of Christ. They think of Christianity. It's one of the most powerful symbols, and it is a simple symbol, okay? Very simple. Two perpendicular lines coming together, intersecting, and you know it's a cross. You know it's the cross of Christ, and you make the connection to Christianity. And so you notice it all over the place. People wear them. People have them on. Decorative. And many people do. I do too. You know, you have a decorative cross, which you wear. It is your quick identification with the brand. Quick identification with the tradition. With the tradition of Christianity. Oh yeah, that's what it is. It's this identifying mark, right? I mean, people pay millions of dollars for this type of branding. Think about that little little smudge mark, you know, that's put on Nike. Just do it. And it's like this check mark. What is that? It's like a little thing. Millions of dollars to prepare that. Just do it, right? Hey, Christianity has that. It has this incredible symbol. It's a cross. You look at it, you think of Christianity. Now, let's tie it in with this. What does Jesus say about the cross? He says, if you're going to follow me, you have to pick up your cross and do so, and then follow me. What is that? Cross, of course, not just a symbol of suffering at this point, but a symbol of victory. A symbol of victory over that suffering. Because when you look at a cross, it reminds you, yes, of crucifixion, of suffering, of pain, but it also reminds us, and this is the beauty of Armodoxy, it reminds us of resurrection, of victory, of good over evil, of love over hatred. Now think about that for a moment. We have these crosses. You wear the cross. You visualize the cross. You look at it. You look at the beauty of these ornate crosses. You can count crosses. By the way, on a side note, this is a fantastic way to keep your children busy, you know, especially when the preacher is giving a very dull sermon. Have them count the crosses. Like if you go into an Orthodox church, you go into an Armenian church. I once did this. Hint, hint. In other words, I wasn't giving the sermon, okay? So I once did this. I had the kids count crosses. Just in a small church where we were at, it was something in the tune of about 300. When you look at all the small little ornaments, the chandeliers on the pews, on the walls, in the curtain fabric, just they're all over the place. Christianity. Jesus said, if you are going to follow me, pick up your cross. That cross is the symbol of sacrifice. Not only suffering, but of victory, and that comes together as sacrifice. Don't be scared to sacrifice. Don't be scared to give of yourself, to serve something beyond yourself. That's the sacrifice. Pick up your cross, serve, and that's what we're commanded to do. Now think about that for a moment. Proactive, reactive. What is the cross? It's our means of being proactive. If you've picked up the cross, you are already proactive. Because now you're understanding the world in a different way. You're not reacting to those difficulties, to those waves coming your way. You're understanding that those waves are part of your life, and now you are proactive. You're ready to take on those challenges in life. But it's that understanding of the cross in your life that gives you that ability to be proactive. We turn to be reactive. In other words, we see the problems in life and we react to them because we've forgotten the cross. We've forgotten the power of that cross. And people try different ways. They try to get on social media. They try to find groups, support groups, and one with another. And they'll try ways to get up enough energy and try to fix a problem. Yeah, they'll put temporary fixes to them. But the long-term fix is going to be on an acceptance of that cross. In other words, acceptance that we are part of the solution, an acceptance that we need to sacrifice. Each of us needs to sacrifice. Remember what I read a few minutes ago. The image we associate with proactivity is one of grace under stress. Cross is grace. When we're under stress, that grace shines. Your cross shines when you're under stress. To stay with the previous analogy, this writer writes, let's say you're in choppy waters. Now you look more at ease. It's not just that you anticipate the waves, you're in tune with them. Yeah, that's what the cross does. It puts us in tune with life, because all of life is suffering. Or to say it in a more common way, let's say that the most common human experience is suffering. It's true. Think about it. Think about how we relate to one another. We relate not in our successes, but we relate in our sufferings. And so when you're proactive, you're ready, you understand that that suffering is part of the equation. But you're not panicking over it, because you realize with the cross that there is victory, that there is hope. It's not this negative reality. I mean, even in Buddhism, when they say that all life is suffering, it's not meant to bring you down and say, hey, it's over, it's just horrible and everything. No, it's built in with hope. All life is suffering. It's probably the most common human experience, suffering. You suffer one way or another. The cross is so powerful. Why? Because we all can relate to it. So Jesus had the cross that he conquered, and we have our crosses in our lives, whether it's fouled up relationships. How about sickness, disease, illness? That's a cross. How about financial difficulties? Big, big cross, right? People lose their lives for financial issues. It's a cross. And you can choose to get up on these crosses. You can choose to be nailed to these crosses. Or you can be proactive about it and understand that that is a part of your being. And that means you are a human being. As a human being, you have this opportunity to reach out, to help others, to be proactive in your life, not reactive. I'm not saying don't be reactive. Yeah, terrible things happen. But instead of being reactive, if you're proactive, you're ready for that. Okay, so you wake up tomorrow morning and you hear that, you know, a tidal wave has taken over an island and thousands of people have died. Yes, the reaction is, okay, let me help some way. Let me write out a check at the very least. Proactive will tell you that, okay, that is part of life and I am ready, no matter what it takes, for me to be a human being in this process and to see them beyond just the people living on the island. Stop looking at their different colors, their different makeup, but understand that they're part of my equation. They're part of my life. And this is the call that Jesus really makes to us. It's the call of discipleship. It says, if anyone were to follow me, to become my disciple, whoever wants to become my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Well, the denial is the sacrifice. That's the cross. Denying of the self. There is a beautiful little passage we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It is read usually at funeral services, at requiem services. Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But when it does die, it produces its harvest. Think about it. The seed, it has to die. Then Jesus goes on to make the analogy complete by making it a true analogy. In other words, connecting the dots with human life. He says, he who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What is that hatred? What is that love of life? It means sacrifice. It means denying the self. And selfless living is one of those buzzwords, one of those fun phrases to say. Yes, we're selfless, but very, very difficult to do. But it is the call that we are called to. Because when you are selfless, it becomes a life that is for the world. It becomes a life that is lived for others. It becomes a life that is proactive. In other words, it's ready to live. It's ready to interact. And throughout Scripture, we're called to this proactive life. Through the Holy Cross, we understand that that symbol of the cross is a symbol of crucifixion, yes, but a victory even more. In that victory, in Christ's victory, we find our victory. We are always ready to confront those crosses, those difficulties, those sadness, those sufferings, knowing full well that we have the advantage of having hope, knowing full well that we have the advantage of having life after that suffering. Be proactive in your life. Yes, we will continue to react to many difficulties. We do that all the time. It's human nature. But the proactive person is able to stand up and say that this is part of life. And in that part of life, I am a human being. And that human being is somebody that is taking on that life. Not as God, but as a human being. Oh, you know I love that word. Let me take a break for right now. Susie, make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazquez calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And how are you doing with this heat? It's pretty wild, isn't it? Yeah, I know. The other room is a little bit more air-conditioned, but it's still pretty bad back there. Anyway, listen, thank you to our listeners, for all of your support, for all of your prayers, your donations. They go a long way. Your words of encouragement, all of your email, I really appreciate it. It goes a long, long way to encourage us, to even push us a little bit. Sometimes when it's difficult to do things, to let us know that there is a group of people listening. We were so, so honored and moved when this past Sunday I shared with you the Primate of Romania was with us celebrating the Divine Liturgy, and before he started the Divine Liturgy, turns to me and he asked me a question about some of our Epostle programming, and sure enough, from Romania, he listens and he follows along. You know what a blessing that is? You know how exciting that is to hear that in Romania, the Primate of the Diocese is listening in, and it's not any more exciting than to know that all of us are together sharing all of this beautiful life that God has given us. I want to thank you for the words of encouragement and do encourage you to drop us a line. We're at feedback@epostle.net. Also, check out our website, inhisshoes.org, where you'll find out information about the latest happenings, including a bike ride for the refugees in Darfur. That's an incredible little project that you can participate wherever you are in the world. And even if it's a hot day, there's alternatives to the bike ride, virtual bike rides. Well, you have to check it out to find out what's going on over there. And we'll talk more about that in detail next week. Also, I told you about the Gor Mkhitaryan album. We're really excited about that. That's coming out beginning of 2016. Just signed the contracts for that. And it's going to be called Passport. We'll be playing some music Love to hear from you about what's happening in your area. Do drop us a line, feedback@epostle.net. Well, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin in the heat of the night, talking to you and sharing with you and inviting you to be with us next week when we take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Boskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.